It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goth.
Oh, Morena, have we got Phil there?
Yeah,
Atamario. We've got a little bit of a buzz in the background, that's all.
Yeah, I'm at a very remote location. I'm out at Bethel's Beach. I came out early this morning to have a look at a conservation block that we bought to restore the wetlands, and it's a beautiful area out here, but my cell phone doesn't work and the landline I'm on has got a very distinct rural buzz to it.
That's all right. It's just a bit of ambience, that's all.
Yeah,
we just imagine the beautiful beach as well. Hey, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. Let's start by talking about this report that RNZ put out yesterday, where they were saying that councils are spending a lot more on public relations at the same time as they are beset by escalating demands for essential services like water and roads. So what does this mean? And is the Auckland Council part of this sort of, push for PR people within the council?
Yeah, well, actually, we've cut back in that area. And in fact, under our Value for Money program, we're going to realise savings of about $12 million by the end of the 10-year budget period. Last year, the savings were about $460,000. This year there'll be 900,000, and it's not PR. It's the full range of communications. It's the reports that we have to put out. It's the communications to the public about what council is doing. It's not a bunch of people dealing with media stories to promote the council. And you have to have communications. But I was also very clear at the beginning when I became mayor that I wanted to see a reduction in numbers in that area, and we've done that. And as you've seen in the media recently, actually we're looking at a restructuring to take out some of the middle management of the council staff, and looking at probably a reduction of around 160 jobs, but that will be offset, of course, by more people out doing the customer-related work of, resource consents, service centres, and so on. So, as the city grows by 40,000 people a year, you've got to have more staff to cater with them for them. But you've also got to look at ways in which you can keep your staff increases at a reasonable level, and certainly below the proportionate level you'd expect with the increase in our population.
I think it's kind of interesting, one of the things that was flagged about this, maybe it's good to hear that we haven't got so much of an emphasis on it in Auckland, is that maybe with the idea of having people in these roles, it's sort of putting people off voting, was something that Brent Goodwin, who is the Masterton District, he's a retiring Masterton District Councillor, was sort of, concerned about. Do you think that there is a reason to be concerned that having, layers of intermediary people between the council and the voters does sort of create a bit of a wall there?
No, I heard the interview with the guy from the Wairarapa, and I couldn't quite, it didn't add up to me that PR staff would somehow be a barrier to people voting. I mean, when people, a big reminder for people out there now, you've got your voting papers, you've received them through the mail, don't leave them on the fridge, don't leave them on top of the microwave or on the sideboard, make sure you get out, fill them out, and have your say over the future of your city. I couldn't see how a communications role would actually discourage people from voting. But having said that, I am really concerned that the level of voting so far has been quite low. And just to everybody out there listening, please make sure that you do have a say. If you don't vote, then you let somebody else make the decisions for you. And, I'm thinking back over my parents' generation where they went to war to fight for freedom, such as the right to vote, and we have it there and we kind of take it for granted and say, oh, well, maybe I won't bother, maybe it's a bit complex, maybe I don't know the people well enough. Hey, it's easy enough to find out. There's a little booklet there. Make your judgment, have your say, help shape the city's future.
Absolutely. So that's by the 8th of this month, 8th of October, that you can vote?
Yeah, the results are known on the 12th, but if you're posting your ballot paper, they don't call it snail mail for nothing, make sure that you're posted before the 8th of October. In fact, don't even wait till then. You've got all...
Do it now.
You can do it today. We've got Vote Friday this Friday, where we're encouraging, including in council organisation itself, staff to bring their ballot papers in, and they'll be collected in a big ballot box and sent off to the electoral centre. So I know a number of companies are doing that, and probably some church organisations as well. Great idea. But it's not hard to do. Only takes you a couple of minutes to fill out those ballot papers, and then your vote counts, and that's really important.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about something that we touched on a few weeks ago, the Te Papa North, which was sort of planned to be out in Manukau and kind of showcasing Māori and Pacific taonga in South Auckland. That's been ditched now and seemingly sort of without explanation. Can you tell us anything about this, Phil?
Yeah, it hasn't been ditched. I've got the letter in front of me that the chief executive of Te Papa has wrote to me, and he said that they're not undertaking further planning or discussions for the time being. We had made an offer to government, and this was some years ago, and to the then government of the day, that we would provide land at Hayman's Park in Manukau, perfect place for a Pacifica cultural centre, if Te Papa provided the building. Government, central government provided the building, and Te Papa, of course, has got all those Pacifica taonga down in Wellington, and not many of our Māori and Pacifica people, you know, get a chance to get down to Wellington regularly, or probably not many Aucklanders actually. And we just thought, hey, Auckland, the centre of Pacifica, not just in New Zealand, but of the world, and Manukau being the centre of Pacifica in Auckland, this was an ideal place to have it. So the Key government hummed and hard and then put it off. The Ardern government has pretty much done the same thing. I've talked to ministers, and they've said, well, look, Te Papa have got some challenges and the work they need to do on strengthening their building, etc., in Wellington. We just don't have another $40 million to put into it at this stage. But it's something that I'm going to continue to fight for, because I think it's really important to give, you know, our young Pacifica people in South Auckland somewhere where they can catch up with their culture, learn more about their identity, take pride in their identity, a learning experience actually for all Aucklanders to come along, and a tourism centre so close to the airport, and something that we think, done well, would be incredibly popular. And we've even entered into discussions, you know, with the Auckland Museum to talk to Te Papa about how we could make sure that we're not duplicating things, but the one museum would complement the other. But at the moment, yeah, look, I understand the government's got a lot of demands on it, but should we give up on that? No way. I think a Pacifica Centre for Auckland is well overdue and would be a great asset to Auckland and all its people.
I think that's good to hear that it's not completely off the table then. Well, let's talk quickly about our last topic this morning, which is the Auckland Council's most recent annual report. And once again, housing has been flagged as a priority, specifically the housing shortage. And also they've pointed out that the available stock that we've got is sitting among the world's most unaffordable. Now, this seems to be a problem we just keep coming back to, Phil. How do we get past this at this point?
Well, I think the critical issue was that as we were growing by 40,000 people a year, we weren't building houses to match that demand, and as a consequence, the supply of houses didn't keep up with demand. And when supply doesn't keep up with demand, that's reflected in the huge increase in prices. Now, we've done a couple of things to address that. First of all, we've made a whole lot more land available for housing in terms of our zoning, more than 1 million sites potentially available for housing. And in the last 3 years, I think we've seen land prices drop by about 6%, which is good news. And actually, we've seen house prices in Auckland, first of all, level off. They were increasing by about 15% a year. They leveled off, and now they've dropped by, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4%, depending on where in the city you are. The dropping of the interest rates will also be helpful in terms of affordability for people. And we're actually making some huge progress. In the last year to June, we, for the first time ever in the history of the city, consented over 14,000 houses in a year. And to give you an idea of what that means, we consented more houses and built more houses in the first 6 months of this year than we did in the entire 2 years of 2009 and 2010. Now, 14,000 houses a year is almost at the point where we're actually matching the growth in population, but we've got a backlog, we estimate maybe of about 40, 45,000 houses that we need to fill. So we are making progress on that. And on the consenting side, that's put our people under real pressure. And unfortunately, when the building industry booms, all of our trained consenters, who are usually skilled tradespeople, they get robbed from us by not only the private sector that offer more money, but also central government. Mm. And we've been forced to, you know, recruit in places like Toronto, where they've got a similar system to ours. But the good news is, from consenting on average only about 60% of the houses within 20 working days last year, the latest figures I've got for the month of August was 85%. So we've increased from 60 to 85% the number of houses that we're consenting within the 20 working days. And that number's been at or above the 80% figure since April of this year. So making some real progress in that area. We don't want to hold people up in terms of issuing those consents, but you know, our staff numbers are probably 10 or 15% down on where we would like to have them, given the sheer volume of consents that are coming through at the present time.
Well, thank you so much, Phil, and thank you for your time again this morning, especially phoning us all the way from Bethel's Beach, beautiful Bethel's Beach indeed. And we will speak to you next week.
That's great. We won't have the hum on the line at that point, but
it's all right. It's just rural ambience.
The beautiful conservation park that the council has purchased here and is developing for conservation purposes. Anyway, have a great day.
Thank you. We'll speak to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Rachel. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.